B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
You're in Mass.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger Maserati coming to you on the 31st of March. We are brought to you by DraftKings on 98.5 on the FM dial. That's terrestrial radio here in the Boston area. You can catch us across the country and all U.S. territories on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. That's on TV. Catch us anytime on the web, 98.5thesportshub.com or the app. Catch us live on the stream or any of the replays. That's how you can consume us. We got Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. I remain remote. Anthony, how you doing?
Good, you?
I'm peachy. Thank you so much. I thought we'd start today and do some baseball and do a fair amount of baseball because a couple different reasons. One is the Red Sox open up tomorrow and they play at 2 o'clock first pitch, right?
I believe that is correct.
Okay, so typically when the Red Sox are playing up against us, we don't bother with it. So I don't think tomorrow's going to be a baseball day for us until the end of the very end of the program when the game's over, if they get it in. And furthermore, coming up today at 4 o'clock, Robert Kraft is speaking and holding a press conference. So I think there's going to be some news or certainly commentary or, I don't know, there's going to be something with the Patriots coming up later on in the afternoon. So I thought we'd start the show with baseball and Bruins. How do you feel about that?
I'm in.
How do you feel about your baseball team right now?
Yeah, mediocre at best. Mediocre at best is how I feel. And so, look, here's the reality. The Red Sox, to me, should be a championship contender every year. There is no excuse for them not to be. They should be that. They have the resources to draft well and sign free agents. Nonetheless, the reality is what it is. And they are now in a rebuild because they mismanaged their finances. They drafted poorly. And so now they're in a rebuild. So, as such, I have to set my expectations accordingly if I want to make it through a baseball season. And so here's what I would tell you. They're not a championship contender this year. Everybody knows that. So my goals for them, my expectations for them this year are pretty simple. They're pretty low and they're pretty basic. Hang in there and play some games that mean something in August and September. Make a run at an 85-win season and maybe make a playoff a spot. Maybe make it as one of the wild cards. Keep me in it. Keep me engaged. Keep me in it. And I believe that they have enough there to do that. Do I think they're great? No. Do I think things have to break right for them in order to compete and contend? Yes, absolutely. But I don't think they suck. I think they, last year, I think really distorted what they are in the eyes of many people. They were so bad last year that, frankly, I think they hurt themselves more than anything because it's going to take a lot now to bring people back. But they're not as bad as they were a year ago. They're a professional operation again now that Cora's there. And so, you know, I'll get to the analytics part of it, but sadly, I am now in a position where I am going to rely on the dorks. I don't think they have high-end firepower talent. They're going to have to navigate their way through it, and I think that they can do it well enough to keep me engaged in August and September.
So the nerd stuff, I'm looking forward to covering, okay? And I do. We'll spend some time on that today. Murray, what do you want from the Red Sox? What do you want?
Just be compelling, and don't suck early. Put on a worthwhile, compelling product right out of the gate before you become a complete afterthought. I think we can agree that they're not really ever going to own the city the way that they once did, like 10, let alone 20 years ago. But if you can, they can still get a good amount of buzz and draw. Just look at 2018, right? But don't suck early. Be worth tuning into, because I do think that they are teetering, even with some of their most hardcore fans, because of the last couple of seasons, and especially last year's worthless product. And I know a lot of people didn't even tune in the first place because they didn't think it was real COVID year and all that, but I think they've really hurt themselves in their brand the last two seasons. So come out of the gate hot, be compelling. There is some buzz there with Cora coming back. I think they can be more likable. You still have some good stars here and guys you can market like Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, some new faces in the outfield. Just don't suck. Don't suck early, because if they're bad out of the gate, it's going to be a problem and people will just be like,
so
the hell
true. Agreed. So true. It is. It's so true. People are not. People are out as it is, or teetering as it is. And if the Sox give you any excuse to just shut it down for another year, you'll do it. So that's so true. The start, Maz. The start's so important.
Oh, yeah. No, they got to come out. And again, they have a weak schedule to start. You get Baltimore, 6 of the first 9, and the other one is Tampa, who might be the third worst team in the division, right there with the Red Sox. So the Rays aren't as good. They lost Snell. They lost Morton. You know, it's the front-end pitching that was there for them is no longer there. Obviously, you know, you're talking about a team that was in the World Series a year ago. I just don't think they're quite as good as they were. They took some hits. And so I would say to the Red Sox, challenge the, you know, the after whoever wins the division, whether it's the Yankees or Toronto, and I think it's going to be the Yankees, challenge those next two. Challenge them. Toronto, Tampa, challenge those teams. But if they get off to a bad start and they lose to, you know, they play Baltimore 6 times in the first 9 days, and the other one's with Tampa, as I said, if they get off to a bad start, ooh, look out.
And it already feels like there's a bit of a red flag, Maz. What did I say to you during a commercial break yesterday? I was like, okay, like last year I was clearly an a-hole before even the first pitch. But this year I was like, okay, no, they got Cora back. It does feel like, you know, the chip on their shoulder they had in 2019 to start was so contrived. Like, oh, all right, like reigning champions, nobody believes this. Shut up. This time around, they can actually play that card. And I was like, okay, you know what? No, I'm going to invest. And then just in the last week, it's the COVID breakout. Who's even in the rotation? Eduardo Rodriguez, dead arm. And it all of a sudden feels like, oh, Jesus, this again. And they haven't even played a real game yet. Like, my God. So
go ahead.
No, just again, it feels like already like, oh, God, like here it is. They're just typical Red Sox, like getting in their own way.
Well, so Murray's hitting on what I want from the team. And the sport and the whole thing, it's a really big picture thought. And that is, I don't want to hate watch. I don't want to rip them every day. Like, that's really been the Red Sox experience. And it is, you know,
for
it feels like.
Two straight years.
Okay, it's been 2 straight years where you're almost rooting against them. And you're sort of rooting against certain players and you just don't like them. And if you're watching, you're hate watching. And it's like, all right, you know, I'm like, hopefully we've got that all out of our system. And it's like, you know, especially for this show, it's selfish. I'm not a Red Sox fan, born and bred, but, you know, I'm a talk show host in this town, and this is a show that likes to do sports. And so the more sports that are important and are relevant and that people are following and that we can talk about, I am for. So this is how I feel about the Red Sox, okay? I think meaning people who've had problems with the Red Sox in the sport, we've made our point, okay? The Red Sox problems, the game's problems, the sport, the direction of the sport, I think we've pretty much made the point and probably been proven right. Now, like, that battle's over, you know, for any of us that were fighting the battle. Now I want the Red Sox to come back and, you know, be a team that actually people care about. And dare I say, maybe even like a little bit? I mean, just a little bit. They go through these runs where they're so unlikable and so hateable, and the only thing to really do with them is to bash them. And that's really the Red Sox experience. It's what it's been for the last 2 years. And that's not, you know, there have been stretches like that, Maz, you know, your whole lifetime, I'm sure, where the only thing to do with them is to hate them and bash them. So I'm sort of out of that phase right now. I would like them now to actually be a kind of a likable team. And can you do that without being a true championship contender? And I think you can. You know, so there are a bunch of new guys on this team that some I know, some I don't know, like Marwin Gonzalez, right?
Yes.
And Kiki Hernandez. Yep. So we've seen these guys in playoff series and playoff games and win World Series. And they've sort of been there and done it. And because they played deep into the postseason, I sort of know those guys. Okay. Can they give you a little bit of juice? Can they give you a little something? And then, you know, then there's guys that I don't know. You know, Renfro or who the hell is Christian Arroyo?
He's a guy they claimed from the Giants. He was a high pick with the Giants who didn't pan out. He joined them last year. Actually played pretty well for them at the end of the year. Not that anybody noticed. So he's a guy that they, you know, plucked out of another organization, highly touted at one point that never really hit his potential. So they're bringing him in and taking a shot.
Who's the backup catcher?
Kevin Plawecki.
Who the hell's that?
He was here last year, actually. But
okay, so
they had him going into last year.
So listen, I include Verdugo as part of the new guys. Mm-hmm. Because like a lot of people, I checked out last year. I barely watched last year. So like between Verdugo, Marwin Gonzalez, Kiki Hernandez, whoever the hell this catcher is, whoever the hell Christian Arroyo is, Dalback, you know, as a rookie, like, can there be a mix of players there that are sort of new and overachieve just a little, you know, like be in the race where I can watch the standings every day. How many games out are you? Are you in the wild card race? Can you give me a little something to chew on? Because I think there are guys on the team currently that have been here that I don't like, that I have no interest in rooting for. All right, J.D. Martinez, to me, does nothing for me. And Eddie Rodriguez, I think, is soft as puppy poo, and I'm just not into him. And even Devers, I go back and forth on. Does that kid even get it? Like, sort of these old Red Sox holdovers that we don't like and have bashed for the last couple of years, I'm not really... And Bogarts I put to the side, because Bogarts, I think, is part of the solution, not the problem. But either way, between that new group of players... and Heimblum nerding out and all the, you know, the way they're going to play. Can they win a few more games than I thought they were going to win? Can I like them just a little bit and not just show up every day to bash them? And can people be a little interested, and can they be a relevant talk show topic enough? Like, that's sort of what I want from this team this year.
Well, look, to me, that's really it. Give us some games in August and September that mean something. And to me, by doing that, if they can get to that, I think they give us what you're talking about. That's sort of how I, quantify it. Be in it. Be in it. Keep me engaged. And so, now look, I think they have the capacity to do that. I do think that they're better than a year ago. Mike, some of the guys you talked about, Enrique Hernandez, Kiki Hernandez, or Marwin Gonzalez, those guys have played on winning teams. They've been scrappy, good role players. They play the game with some passion. And so I think that those guys can help. And I'm not telling you that they're, they're all running through walls, but I don't think they half-ass it. J.D. Martinez last year half-assed it. He completely turned me off. So don't half-ass it. Give us an honest season. Give us a good product. And because the whole beating the crap out of them, listen, I've done it my whole lifetime. Part of me enjoys it thoroughly. I think this year, that's going to get real old real fast.
Because, again, it's been two straight years. But that's why a hot start or a decent start is so important. And they have Lambs to start, too. It's the Orioles, it's Tampa.
We've beaten the bag out of them.
Yes.
Like, there's nothing left in there. If they suck and are irrelevant, it's not even really worth showing up and bashing them.
I agree. Too easy.
Get good, and then we'll turn around and complain. Like, that's fun, okay? But, like, when you're irrelevant, and we've been doing it for 2 years, it's like, all right, I don't need to do it anymore. So, that's sort of my expectation, or that's what I want. And then there's a couple things that I'm most interested in when it relates to this team. I am interested in Heimblum and his methods. And, even in success, I will bash that because he is a nerd's nerd, and we've talked a ton about this. But he's so analytic-driven, and I so despise the analytics that's going to be a fun thing to cover. It's either going to work and I'm going to hate it, or it's going to fail and I'm going to hate it. But either way, I'm going to hate it. But if it works, and his stuff does work, I think that's going to be interesting to follow. Not necessarily fun to watch, but fun to follow and cover and talk about the next day. But I do worry and wonder about Heimblum. I get the sense he's in over his head. I get the sense he's just another computer program, and he's not fit for this job or this market. And I'm not into him. But that'll be fun to see. Maybe I'm wrong. I usually am. So let's see how that all works out. That's something I want to cover. And the team is, again, so faceless and kind of not much of a pulse, except for the manager, who I do find worth listening to, and it does have a pulse and does sort of have buzz attached to him. How much can a manager bring to a team? This ain't the days of Billy Martin and Earl Weaver where the manager was actually entertaining, but Cora is actually worth, the ticket, whatever that means. He's worth the listen. And so how much can the manager bring to the team? That's another thing that I want to get to today. So we're starting with baseball, folks. We'll mix in some Bruins this hour as well over the first couple hours of this show. So have at it at 617-779-0985.
Boston's home for sports. Fill your mess. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
last year was, it really was a disgrace. I mean, we did have injuries, but it was awful to live through a season where we just were seemingly were out of every game by the top of the second inning. And so to be more consistent, be healthy, and to play at a level where the Boston Red Sox belong has to be the goal.
All right, so that was Sam Kennedy, Chris Gasper's podcast, calling last year Maz unacceptable. I mean, he's talking about himself, right? I mean, it was the roster that set that up.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, guys like J.D. Martinez quit. I think the players, you know, I think the front office gave the players an excuse not to try last year, and the players, as usual, took them up on it. But it started with what they fielded.
No question. Yeah, look, I took that as an organizational statement. I didn't think he was like putting it on the players or the manager. Or the fact is, Ron Renneke was the biggest victim of that season, for crying out loud. But last year was it disgrace is the right word. To say that they sucked doesn't even do it justice. They weren't competitive. It was not a professional product, pandemic or no pandemic. It was so horrific that, and frankly, I think they did major damage to themselves as a result of it, along with the second half in particular of 2019. I think people have checked out. So, you know, I don't know if it's even fair to say the Red Sox are at a crisis point. They're in danger of losing people. I think they've lost them. I think that that damage has taken place. And so now it is incumbent on them to try to win us back. And that means fielding a professional, competitive team, starting with the simplest things. Just don't completely suck. I'm not joking, though, Mike. Let's start there.
Before I go to the phones, and there's still a couple open lines at 617-779-0985, how do they not completely suck? Tell me how they overachieve or surprise us.
They have a good competitive offense, which I think that they have. I feel the best about that part of it. I think their lineup is pretty good. And their pitchers, you know, stay healthy and have pretty good years, and one of them has a great year. I don't know who that is. I don't know if that's Evaldi. I don't know if that's Eduardo Rodriguez. Take your pick. Garrett Richards, whoever it is, one of those guys in there has to pop out and be a 15-game winner. Like, and I use that just as a guideline. Okay, that kind of pitcher that you look at and say, we need that guy on the mound today. One guy like that can change the whole thing. I mean, really, that's all it takes. We've seen it here before. You get a guy that goes out there, gives you, you know, 30 starts, and you go 20-10. Well, now you're 10 games over 500 with just that guy. Okay? You play 500 the rest of the time, you go 86-76. So, to me, it's got to be something like that. They start having injuries on the pitching staff, they're in big trouble.
All right, let's go to the phones. As promised here, here's Mike in Nashville. Lead us off today. Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, so I think baseball more than any other sport is 100 times better when you're at the park. So what I think, you know, you need to get the buzz going on Causeway Street and Yawkey Way or whatever they call it. And I don't know. Do you guys know what the plan is for letting fans back? Because that's where you get the buzz.
Well, I mean,
they rely on 12,000, right?
I mean, yes and no is where you get the buzz. I mean, it's definitely going to help the experience, Maz, that it's one of the few places to sort of go outside and gather and socialize and have a little bit of something going on. So, like, they should benefit from that, whether they suck or they don't. But, I mean, especially if they're, you know, decent, like, that should be a plus for the team. But is it they're allowing 12,000?
I thought it was 12%.
Okay, that's where I'm concerned.
Yeah, right, 12%. Yeah.
I thought it was 12%, which in the case of Fenway means about 5,000 people, let's call
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, so somewhere in that area. But honestly, I don't think that's a huge factor. I mean, it's a variable. I'm not telling you it's totally insignificant. The bottom line is this. They got to give you a product. They've got to give you a product. They have to give you a team that you look at, you know, that you can at least watch and say, well, they're in the game. They have a chance. They start there. And then they need to win some of those. So I start with saying, give me a winning record. Okay. Now, I don't think that's quite enough to get them into playoff contention. But if you can get to 85 wins, that'll keep you in playoff contention. Okay. So start with, give me a winning season. And if you start there, then there's the chance for it to be okay.
And again, you guys mentioned the start. It's just so true. It's like no one's expecting anything of them. If they can get off to a good month, you know,
huge.
And, it's like then it sort of builds on itself, and that builds like, you know, we like nothing more than an overachiever.
They play 27 games in the month of April. From 2000 to 2019, 60 teams finished the month of April with 17 or more losses. Only two of them made the playoffs.
Okay.
So they have to go like at least 11 and 16.
Yeah, I just, you know, to me, again, I would say like even a 500 April for them is okay.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about like, I mean, to me, if they're 11 and 16, forget about it.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's not, we're out.
But 500's okay. Like if they're, you know, let's say they go 14 and 13 in those 27. Murray, I think you said 27. So good, fine, it's take it.
Got to be better than that.
So I think, but I think that that is a...
But they're not totally dead if they are that bad.
Exactly.
Four or five games under 500. But Mike, no, if they're 10 or 17 or worse, like it's over.
Mike, I'm worried about them going 4 and 12.
Oh, well, Jesus. Then that is, it's over. Forget about it. Well, 2 weeks of baseball and then, you know, see you next year.
Exactly.
Keith in Bridgewater, he joins us next. Hi, Keith.
Yeah, happy Easter, guys. Good afternoon.
You too.
I'm interested in the Red Sox. I agree with most everything you're saying. But I'm interested in this kid who's pitching Saturday. This Hulk kid, he's a little up and down, but he does look impressive. And if they could catch lightning in a bottle with this kid, who knows? And I think they may play their best baseball in September with Dieter Downs. They have a lot of talent. So I think they could play their best. So
okay, Keith. All right, well, thank you for the call.
Their new German player, Dieter Downs.
And also, well, anyway, I'm not going to make a crack about the demo of the baseball caller, okay?
It's so apparent.
We're just going to talk to baseball. That's another thing the team lacks, Maz. Like, if they can get a few of these young guys, you know, because nothing builds buzz, right, than just the promise of a young player. And I don't know if they've had it here the last, because they haven't. They haven't had it the last couple of years.
Well,
go ahead, of these guys.
Well, I was going to say, the key guy there now is Dahlbeck.
Right.
Okay? Dahlbeck's the key guy there. If you remember, there was one stretch of the year last year where they got a little bit interesting. A little. And that's when Dahlbeck homered in, like, however many straight games it was. Remember? That, like, all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, where did this kid come from? And Dahlbeck came up and hit home runs, and everybody went, ooh, like, is this kid any good?
I forget whose column I was reading in the Globe yesterday, but apparently Dennis Eckersley, he reminds him of a young Mark McGwire, he said.
Oy. Okay, so look, again,
that's a bit much, but
yeah,
still.
Exactly, right. So let's say the kid can come up, and he's going to strike out a crap ton, Mike. Okay, this kid's going to threaten 200 strikeouts. But let's say he can hit 260 with 35 homers. It will put him in the running for the Rookie of the Year discussion. Okay? And again, I don't know if he can hit 35 homers. That's the number Eckersley threw out yesterday. And so, but Dahlbeck is, you know, and then when you get to the second half of the year, maybe you'll start to see Jeter Downs or Jaron Duran or, you know, I like this kid they have in the bullpen that they got from the Yankees, Garrett Whitlock. I don't know what kind of role they're going to put him in to start. But at least, you know, if you remember in 2015, they finished last. But in the second half of that year, particularly in August and September, is when they started to really sort of blossom with Betts, Bogarts. Like, it started to show a little. And if they can tread water and hang in it until then, and then get some reinforcements, I think they build some momentum going into 2022.
Absolutely, with some young players. Is that Tanner Houck starting on Saturday?
It's not official yet, but Houck is a he seems to be the likely choice. The fact that they haven't named him yet has me a little. Maybe they're going to backdoor someone there that we don't know about. I don't know what's going on there exactly. Houck pitched well at the end of last season, but again, they were playing nothing games. And so he's got pretty good stuff. He was a first-round pick. He just has to be able to throw strikes consistently. But, again, it's got to be someone like him that kind of comes out of nowhere and gives you a reason to watch for a little while they hang in it.
Houck.
Houck. Like, okay. Ralph Houck, the old manager.
I want to know it to mispronounce it. Know it before I mispronounce it.
You can call him Hawk. It's fine.
Janu Smith.
Janu Smith.
Janu Smith. Tanner Houck.
Houck.
Okay, he's an important guy, though. Maz, of the baseball, we've taken maybe six baseball calls the last 2 days. Three have been on Tanner Houck.
Yeah, because he struck out six in four innings the other day. Yeah.
But he's young. It's the promise and the hope of the young player and what he could be. And the Red Sox need some of those. All right, here's an update from Murray.
Tanner Houck? How hey, we guys, come with Hulk Hogan here, and I've got one question for the Sports Hub listeners out there. What you gonna do when Felger and Maz run wild on you, brother? What you gonna do?
Greatest drop in the history of radio right there. Here's Murray's update. We come back with the Bruins Minute.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pastrnak waiting back in his own zone for the signal. He grabs the puck, rushes over the line, cuts left into the far circle, now to the middle, shoots, he scores! Pastrnak with a dish and then softly tapped it inside the near post. The Boston Bruins victorious over the New Jersey Devils 5-4 as they rallied for a pair in the third period to come up with a victory here tonight. And the Bruins are now 4-1-1 in their last six.
Holy crap, is that misleading? I haven't heard that call yet. 4-1-1 in their last six? They suck. they suck. They're not playing well. And they're 4-1-1 in their last six makes it sound like they're on some sort of roll.
Can I give you a more accurate way to wrap that up?
Yeah. The last two wins were against the Sabres in a shootout against New Jersey. How could you possibly feel any better about the Bruins?
4-1-1 in their last six. That is the most misleading stat right now in sports. They blow. Like, all right. So anyway, well, I guess, I mean, if it is, if it's true, it's true. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, boys. I'll tell you what, Bruins fans. I'll tell you what, Bruins. Cam, if you're listening, we were that close to me giving you another commercial today.
Oh.
I was going into that third period last night, Maz. I was ready.
I think they're done.
If I think the
Bruins season is over.
If I were one of you Twitter a-holes, I would have been tweeting after that second period, it's time to blow it up. Honestly, I was that close. I was ready.
This is what I think the big issue with the team is. There's too many young guys.
Okay. I was that close to giving the Bruins another commercial. That close.
I think the Bruins season is over.
Because I think they're... they're still teetering. I mean, they're still teetering.
Are they ever?
But if they had lost last night, I was just about ready to say that's it.
There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing.
I'll tell you why, Maz. Right now, I think we're seeing we're seeing some of the things I thought we were going to see going into the year.
Agreed.
Shakiness on defense, that left side can't get out of their own end, giveaways, sloppy coverage, the defensive thing showing up. Because Chara leaves, Krug leaves, young guys back there who you don't know if they're ready or not. And it's like, that's what I thought we'd see going into the year. Okay? I didn't think they wouldn't be able to leak a drop 5-on-5. I didn't think they'd be so bad 5-on-5 and their second through fourth lines being so bad. That I didn't think. I thought they had decent depth up front. So the lack of depth up front and that horrible play up front. So many guys who aren't a threat up front.
Too young.
So we had that. And then now we're starting to see the defense play the way it's playing. I'm like, well, now you've got nothing. Now it's all. And oh, by the way, your goaltender once again can't post. Okay. And you add that all up. They got too many guys who aren't a threat up front. They're too young and shaky on D. And their goalie is once again quit or can't play or whatever the hell. That's like, well, it's over.
I think the Bruins season is over.
So I was all ready to come in and give you guys another commercial.
I think they're done.
And they had that third period, and they pulled it out, and so I'm not going to do that then.
There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing.
Well, the spark started with Marchand, right? And getting into it with that brat, right? And so
tremendous.
Yeah, awesome, but he... Like, on the one end, great, and that gave them the spark, and that's why they're one of the main reason they were able to pull back after they're down, 3-1 at the time. he shouldn't be the one to have to do that. He's too important to the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know he didn't get hurt, and I don't want to sound like the Nana, but I'm gonna. He shouldn't be the one to do that.
So I'll tell you, I don't know whether to feel better or worse about them today. That's how I felt after that game last night. That's how I still feel today. Because they were all over New Jersey at the start. I thought they came out strong. They looked good at the beginning of the game. And then they slipped up, bang, goal. And I went, oh, boy. And then, you know, I got a lucky break when Richie scored. And then, bang, goal. And the second one bugged me with Halak. I thought he was in horrible position on that goal.
He got beaten back.
So that one bugged me. And then
he was non-competitive on that play.
Oh, brutal. Absolutely brutal. And then, you know, Lozon made his second mistake of the night. It just felt like every time you started to feel good about them, they did something really stupid or really bad. And so, look, I give them credit for pulling it out. I thought they showed great grit, not to mention it might be the best shootout they've ever had.
Why can't Charlie Coyle do something like that, you know, in regulation?
Because he has to get into that spot in the first place, and he's not a fighter.
You know,
he's not a fighter. He doesn't stick his nose in there. I'm seeing why Minnesota gave up on him and why he's been a tease and a disappointment. He's got all that ability, but he just doesn't have that thing. He doesn't have the hair across his ass. He doesn't have the dog in him. And so, Murray, he won't fight through traffic to get to that spot to use his skill.
That was like the Marchand thing to me. On the one hand, like, great. On the other, kind of annoyed. Like, I was like, all right, like, can I see more of this in regulation, please?
Well, so, I mean, so this is why I'm not going to completely write him off yet. And I know, I mean, it's close. It's teetering. One good third period against a horrible New Jersey team, and it brings me off the brink, but it did.
I think they're done.
And so I'm not going to give you the commercial today. But, I mean, I still think they have DNA there, or enough guys with the DNA, right? Like,
their veteran guys have balls.
What Marchand did there is just, like, that's pretty ballsy stuff. It really is. Like, I mean, totally took it on himself. Totally lifted the team, you know, never mind the fight and then the goal and just the whole thing. Like, that should get your juices going as a Bruins fan.
Yeah, but you
as
know what I'm saying, though, Mike? Like, hold on.
Yes, as a fan of sports, that should get your thing going.
Totally.
But Cassidy was totally right after the game to call out the team and say, this shouldn't be the guy. You know, that's not his role. He's one of our stars. He's one of our leading scorers. He's an all-star. This is why we have the rest of you bums or kids, you know, or kids. Kids, really. For what, you know, you've got to do you see what he just did? That's what you all do. Now, do you get it? Like, it shouldn't be on him to go do that. So great for Bruce Cassidy. And I give Bruce Cassidy credit for that. But in the same token, Maz, is his message getting through?
I don't know. I don't know. Again, that Marchand thing last night, for all the crap I've given Marchand, I've said to you a million times, I never imagined he'd be this good a player. Last night, he even went a little bit farther by starting that thing the way he did. And how about that takedown? I mean, he threw that guy down hard.
Oh, he's an animal.
He's strong.
Oh, it was great. It was great. And I thought, well, there's a guy who wants to win. And this is why I say the veteran guys on that team do fight. And I don't mean fight literally like punch. I mean they compete. So Marchand and Bergeron, they looked at it and said, well, we're not going to lose this game tonight. We're not going to. Even McAvoy. McAvoy's got that too. And he's obviously got the skill. But they looked at it and said, we're not going to lose this game tonight. And they pulled it out.
And I love McAvoy. He is developing a knack of knowing when to pinch and when to go down and when to be offensive. He doesn't do it all the time. But he's developing this thing like, okay, we need it. Now I go. And that's really... He is definitely a bright spot. So, like, they still have enough guys with that DNA. They still have enough talent. They've got enough things to say. I'm not going to give up on them. I was about to. And I am about to. They're still teetering. And I still think they have to handle the deadline a certain way, which I want to get to. But the way they pulled that out, I saved myself another commercial anyway. But I do want to get to the deadline thing. I do want to get to Cassidy, who I continue to like and I continue to say does the right things, but... Does his message get through? You know, so it's one thing for him to stand for the right things and say the right things, but if the players aren't listening to it and the young guys aren't responding to it, then really what's the point? So that's another thing I want to pick up on. We have all your Red Sox calls on the board as two, so board as well. So we'll mix those two together and we'll get to it right after this.
This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys. There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing. I think the Bruins season is over. I think they're done.
Too young.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is.
Just slinging poo at each other. Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
When you're a young player in the National Hockey League, you're given an opportunity to play here. When things go a little bit awry, like we cannot rely on Brad Marchand to bring us energy in terms of physicality, or we should not have to, I guess. And Brad's a leader and good for him. Tried to get a spark, but that's where the Lozons can make up for, you know, a Clifton, a Zaboral, a Kuhlman, a Senishin, a Frederick, a Bleed. You know, we need those guys to sort of turn the tide of the game with some physicality, some energy, something to get the bench excited, the crowd excited. And I'll put that with the D as well. And so that was a bit of the lesson in the messaging tonight.
So he basically calls out every young player on his team.
Great.
So good.
Saying, I mean, shame on you that Marchand had to be the guy. So such a right. It's great. It's the right thing to say. He's right. Do you think his players listen?
I don't know. I do worry about some of the young guys on this team. And so, you know, Mike, I was just looking this up during the break. Over the last 5 years in the league, Marchand's the fourth highest scoring player in the league. Fourth.
He's arguably their best player. So again, on the one hand, great.
I think he is their best player.
Gave him their spark. But he goes down weird. He cracks his wrist. It's over. It's all over.
I mean, so that's sort of the point, right? That's the guy that has to do it. That's the guy. And I don't blame Cassidy for being pissed off. Like, and one of the things I love about him, and they said this on the broadcast last night, but you know it's true. He wouldn't say anything publicly that he hasn't already said to them directly, which he did during the second intermission last night, right? It was like, or, you know, the whole idea was, hey, look, you guys are getting the opportunity to play here. You wanted to play in the NHL. Now you're getting the chance. So get your heads out of your asses and start competing. And don't do stupid things like pass the puck up the middle of the ice to the opposition, which Lozon did twice. I mean, the second one was unbelievable. That was like a Cam Newton throwing a pick on a screen pass. That's what it felt like watching that play. I went, holy crap, is that bad? I mean, it was enough to make you want to beat your head against the wall.
So my point on this is that I think Cassidy should be on notice too. And not that I think he's a bad coach. I think he's a good coach. And I like him most nights. I think he does the right thing most times. I like him. But, you know, if the players don't listen, and if the players don't have the right idea, even if he's given them the right idea, then, well, you know, it's one of those things. What do you do? Fire the roster or you fire the coach? You know, it's like, so at some point here, the coach is on notice. And I would say parenthetically that I would put on him as well. I don't know how many of the young forwards have gotten better under his tutelage. Who's gotten better? You know, so, you know, Pastrnak, but I'm talking about sort of down the roster, young forwards. Have they gotten better? I don't know. I think McAvoy's gotten better. I think some of those young D he's good with. The young forwards? I don't know. But so I just think he belongs in the conversation. But mostly it's a talent issue. But I think, well, look, I think they're teetering. And they kind of came off the brink in my mind last night. We'll see where they go from here. But as it relates to the deadline, and we'll get to it coming up, I'm still taking calls on all sides of it if I'm Don Sweeney coming up. But back to your phones here, as promised. Oscar's in Natick on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Oscar.
Hi, I think it's time to bring the pessimism back to the Red Sox conversation here, because I think the pitching staff is so lacking. I mean, your number one starter has a dead arm right now. And then on top of that, you don't even know where you're going to get at a sale when he comes back in July or August. So I just think, their offense, it might be a little bit better, but I think, you know, the pitching, and I think the loss of Andrew Benintendi was Like, why? Why would you do something like that?
Oscar, let me stop you. I thought Benintendi was a bad move. I wouldn't have given up on him so early. I agree. What's the net of Andrew Benintendi going to be on the team? I'm not sure it's going to be much. So even though I don't like the move, I don't think he's going to net. I don't think that that's going to be the difference maker. The pitching mass, that's a legit concern.
Absolutely. So look, again, because I didn't like the Benintendi deal either. But at the end of the day, like, they're going to be fine offensively. Okay, they're going to be okay there. The one thing I would say about the pitching is, do people remember who started for this team last year? Do they remember?
No.
Zach Godley, Chris Mazza.
No, I mean, literally, no. I don't know who these people are you're talking about.
So, but this is the point. Ryan Weber, Kyle Hart. Like, these guys are not big league pitchers. They're not. And so I'm just telling you that now, and, you know, and I'm not trying to minimize the Eduardo Rodriguez part of it, okay? Because he is, quote unquote, their first starter. But the difference between number one and number five on this team really isn't that great. I mean, what you really have is a bunch of middle to end of the rotation guys who you just hope will give you five innings, which I think they can do. Okay, which I think they can do. So just try to hang in it there. It's better than it was a year ago, and don't completely suck.
Ken in California on the Bruins. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
Yeah, so question on the Bruins. Well, not question, but comment on the Bruins. So I know some people were dogging Krejci the other day, and I think Krejci's probably the most talented playmaker on the Bruins team. Back at the beginning of the year when their power play was like top in the league, he was setting up almost every goal. Every game, he sets up at least four or five players to score. It's not his fault. They can't get him wings every year. It's the same thing. DeBrusque has been useless this year. And if you notice, Krejci the last couple weeks has actually been playing physical and going to the net too, which isn't his game. Same thing, like that thing that Mark.
Well, let me just stop you. There's a minute on Krejci, and I agree with most of what you're saying. He's still got to be their top guy that they take calls on at the trade deadline. That's the guy.
Yeah,
that,
don't be fooled by the assists he had last night, and he's had a bunch of them, I think, in the last like four or five games. If someone wants to overpay for him, sell.
You have a thought, Mass?
Oh, no question. I mean, look, again, the age and contract are what they are at this stage. I like Krejci, but the fact of the matter is most of his points come on the power play, or a good half of them, you know, pretty close, like the rest of the team. They need more out of him, even strength.
So to me, this is like the swing guy. This is the crucial guy because I think he has value. I think he has value across the league. If he doesn't, then forget about it. I'm not dealing Krejci just to deal Krejci.
Walk me through it. Love to hear it.
Thank you, Cam. I'll walk you through it right here. If someone's willing to give you a first-round pick or a real prospect, like a first-round pick from the last year or two who's actually projects as a really good player, I think you make that deal. I think you make that deal whether you're in it or not. I think you make that deal no matter what you do between now and April 12th.
Yeah.
Thank you. I do. Because, look, they don't have a lot of young talent. Their system is ranked near the bottom in most surveys.
Scary.
In terms of young talent and all of this. And you know how long David Krejci's been here?
Oh, gosh.
It's like 14 years.
That's a really good question, Mike.
I was going to say 15 years.
This is his 15th year.
Yeah.
15th year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that's like 15th year.
Mm-hmm.
That is how much longer, and he's a free agent at the end of the year. Are you really going to bring him back and pay him real money? You know, you let Krug go last year for nothing in return, which I was fine with because, heck, when the trade deadline came last year, you were a Stanley Cup contender. You had the best record in the league. You wanted to go on a run, so you keep Torrey Krug, and you don't take a rental price on him. I got it. I had no problem with that. Now, especially if you're going to look the way that you're looking, I don't think you're a Stanley Cup team. But even if you still have designs of it, it's like, how many guys are you going to lose for nothing? So Krug left for nothing in return. Krejci leaves for nothing in return. Rask is up at the end of the year. You lose all three of those guys for nothing in return. If I'm the Bruins, Krejci is a guy that I'm taking calls on. And look, I'm not selling him for a second round pick. I'm not selling him for just a middling prospect. I'm not doing it just to do it. But if I get that rental price that's out there, that, you know, that standard rental price of pick and young player, for David Krejci. I think I'm doing it no matter what happens the next 2 weeks, especially if they continue to play the way that they're playing. And it looks like they just don't have enough and it ain't going to happen. Then I might be even shopping him and you know, trying to get that return and, you know, actively trying to drum up interest on him. Don't be afraid to do this, Sweeney. Don't be Danny Ainge. Don't be a hoarder. You know, take a hard look at your team and your roster and get something in return for who's been a great Bruin. But look, you know, I'm not resigning him. 15 years here in one spot, enough's enough. Now, you might want to put Patrice Bergeron on this list, but I think that's unrealistic. You know how long Patrice Bergeron's been here?
Oh, it's going to be like 17, 18 years.
17 years.
Yeah.
17 years.
Well, he started when he was, what, 18?
17 years.
Oh, it's okay, crazy.
I just don't think it's realistic to consider that he's a franchise guy. His number might be going up in the rafters. I think he gets that chance to determine. He's Ray Bourque in this equation. If he wants to leave, okay. But if not, I don't think you're... So I just don't think it's realistic to bring up Patrice Bergeron. That's not a realistic factor. Krejci, yes. Rask, yes. If someone is dumb enough up there, out there in the league, to think that they can rely on Tuukka Rask for a Stanley Cup run and wants to give you a real package for Tuukka Rask, yes, 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 I do it. But I just wonder if enough teams say, I can't, you know, you can't rely on this guy. I'm not giving you a first-round pick and a prospect. For those goalie deals are weird in the first place. They're not the same as, you know, renting a forward or a center. That doesn't really happen with goalies like it does with skaters. So I don't know if that deal is going to be there for Rask, but I'm shopping him. I'm shopping him. And I think no matter what happens in the next couple weeks, I think you got to really look at that. If they had lost last night, I was ready to come in today and say, just shop them. You know, shop the whole thing and blow it up. But we're not quite there yet. But Krejci, no matter what happens the next couple weeks, you got to look at that. You do. You can't just keep losing these guys for nothing in return. Take a hard look at your roster. So that's my Krejci thought. Even if I agree with everything the caller just said, a lot of it's not his fault. He is your best playmaker. I think he has picked it up the last couple of weeks. I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe there's something behind the scenes. I mean, I don't know. I don't blame him. He is what he is. I like him as a player, and they have screwed him on the wings over the years, no doubt about it. So that this isn't a historical assessment of David Krejci. I've liked the player very much over the years. I'm talking about asset management and what you are as a team and where you are as a team. So that's just my thing on Krejci. We'll continue with your Bruins thoughts, mixing it in with your Red Sox thoughts. I got a thought on Chaim Bloom right after Murray's update. Takes 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.